Just to give you a warning, Greg said that's how he's going to start counseling people in the church. So I hope you don't have any problems. You know, how many of you have ever been in that situation? You've wanted to say that, though. Just stop it. You know, maybe somebody you love, and maybe they keep making the same mistake over and over again, or going down that path you know is going to end badly. You just want to grab by the shoulders and stop. Or yourself, you know, we think about our own problems and things that we do over and over again and don't ever change, and we look at ourselves in the mirror. It's like, what's wrong with you? Just stop. And generally the focus is, let's just focus on the behavior. Let's just focus on the actions, and that's what we need to address. Now, I'm not saying behavior doesn't need to be addressed. It does. But focusing only on the behavior might do some good in the short term, but rarely does it ever bring about lasting change when we think about it. And that's what Solomon's going to talk to us about here in Proverbs chapter 4 this morning. This morning we're continuing our series called App for That. And it's kind of the idea we talked about last Sunday, that the smartphones today, there's an application, an app, for absolutely everything that you can think of to help you in your everyday tasks. And the Bible, God's Word, has an application as well for every area of our lives. We talked about, you know, God's Word, it contains a lot of knowledge. There's so much information there. But unless there's application of it, it really doesn't make that much difference in our life. There's really no kind of transformation in our life that, you know, God would hope to see as we grow. So there's got to be that application. In the book of Proverbs, it's got so much practical wisdom in it. It's just packed full of it. It takes God's knowledge and it breaks it down into these little bite-sized pieces of information that are easy to remember, and we can apply them to our everyday lives. So it's a great book of the Bible in that way. And when we have a problem, you know, when we think about our own lives, or we think about a mistake that we tend to make over and over again, that first thought usually is on that behavior only. You know, what can I do today, right now, that's going to bring about lasting change in my life? So we focus on that behavior modification, how to change that behavior. But what we're going to see today as we study in Proverbs chapter 4 is that focusing only on the outside, focusing only on behavior modification, isn't the key to lasting change, to effective change. Solomon is going to take us back to the source, and he's going to say, you know, here's where the real problem is. So let's look at what he said. Solomon wrote, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." The New Living Translation puts it this way. It says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." And in essence, what Solomon is saying here, what Jesus says later on that we'll take a look at, is there's this tendency to focus only on the outside, to look only at that. But all those actions are coming from somewhere. They're coming from a different source. And so we've got to think about that as well. You know, we might think we have an anger problem or a gossip problem or a lying problem, a jealousy problem, a problem with, you know, a number of different things. And that results in different actions that we take and different things that we say. But focusing only on that's not really going to help, because we've got to look at why those things are coming up in us in the first place. You know, in the Hebrew culture, this was probably a little bit more easily understood, because they didn't tend to think of people only as, you know, a mind and a body, you know, like our culture tends to do that. They saw more as, they talk about the heart a lot, and not that, you know, that muscle in your chest, that's not what they're talking about. They're talking about the core of who you are when they speak of your heart, when the Bible talks about our hearts, you know, where all of those things flow out of, where our thoughts and emotions and words and actions. That's the idea, the heart of us, the core of us. You know, if you read through the book of Proverbs, you'll read the word heart more than 75 times. Proverbs 27:19 says, "As a face is reflected in water, so the heart reflects the real person." So let me ask you, I know we probably have this in common. How many times have you said or you've done something in a pressure situation or when nobody was looking, and then after it was done, you're shocked at yourself? You're shocked at what came out of your mouth. You're disappointed, embarrassed at the way you reacted in that situation. Or maybe the person you said it to, or a person that you know well standing around you, and they hear it, and they kind of think, well, you know, what did you say? You know, where did that come from? Well, Solomon would have a good answer for that. He says, I can tell you where it came from. It came from the heart. And we can address behaviors, and we might make some temporary progress there. But until we get to the heart, until we get to the core of who we are and think about why that came up in us, why that came out, we're really not going to see the change I think we hope to see. Think of it this way. Let's say you like to go out, you know, and exercise, and maybe you go out for a run, and you like to just get out in the country and do that, or you go for a walk out in the country. So just kind of picture it that way. So you're out on your hike, and there's this one part in this creek that you always pass by as you're out in the woods. And every time you pass by it, it's just filled with trash. There's junk all over the place. And so one day you finally just say to yourself, you know what, I'm sick of looking at this. I pass by here every day. I want it to look good. So you stop and take a couple hours, and you clean up all that trash and all the junk that's collected there. You step back, you look at it and think, well, it looks pretty good. So you go on. Well, you come back a few days later for your hike, for your exercise, and that same spot in the creek, it's all trashed up again. All that junk's back. All that trash is back again. So you clean it up again, and you go on again. Well, a few days later, you come back, and guess what? Same problem. You go by that same spot in the creek. It's all junky, all trashed up. Except this time, instead of just cleaning it up and going on, you say, I've got to find out what the deal is here. So you say, I'm gonna follow this creek upstream a little ways, and maybe I can figure out what's going on. So you follow it upstream, and you find the source of the problem. This creek runs through a dump. So that trash has always fallen from that dump into this creek, and it just washes downstream, that place that you always see. Now, you can spend a lot of time down creek continuing to pull out all that trash. You can exhaust yourself and spend all kinds of energy cleaning that part of the creek. But you know that until you address the source of the problem, it's really not going to do any good at all. Really, what it just continues to be a cycle of frustration there. And our tendency to focus only on the outside, to focus only on our behavior, on behavior modification, is not going to do the trick. Because Solomon says it's coming from the inside, it's coming from the heart. And until we change some of our focus, we're just going to continue to be frustrated. I would say that most of us probably grew up in homes and we grew up in churches where a lot of the focus was on behavior. You know, make sure that behavior's right, behavior modification, change your behavior, that kind of thing. Again, I'm not saying behavior is not important, but what was rewarded and punished was behavior. And we learn that really early on, don't we? We learn how to game that system. We learn how to manage that. You know, if I'm disrespectful to my parents, I'm going to be punished. I know that. So I'll just stay disrespectful in my heart and in my mind. I'll just make sure it doesn't come out of my mouth. And so we rely on that filter and just say, hey, I just want to make sure it doesn't come out and make sure nobody sees me in that bad light, but I'm going to think it and I'm going to feel it all day long in my heart. Again, I'm not saying behavior isn't important, but the trouble here is nothing's really changed, has it? We're just hoping nobody else sees it. We're not asking ourselves, why is that coming up in me in the first place? Where is that coming from? And what we eventually do is we just become really good at being hypocrites in how we approach it. Again, I'm not saying behavior doesn't matter. It needs to be addressed. Behavior should be rewarded and punished. But the heart needs to be addressed as well. Not just what people see. Not just a concern about what people see and how I react and how I live my life when I'm around different people, especially when I'm around certain groups and I just change the way that I am. You know, only trying to change what's on the outside is like a ticking time bomb. You know, we grow up in a system like that where it's only about what's on the outside, where it's all about the rules, and it's not about our heart. We're not focusing on our heart at all. We're not concerned about what a sincere relationship with God is like. And then what happens? Well, we go off to college. Mom and Dad aren't around anymore. So those external motivators are gone. So what kind of decisions am I going to make now? You know, we've all been there. You're going to get ready to be there. We've all been there. Or I find myself alone in front of the computer. Nobody else is around. Those outward motivators that keep me in check, keep me in place, they're not there. So what am I going to look at while I'm on the computer? Or we find ourselves in a pressure situation, an emotional situation where things are getting pretty worked up. What's going to come out of my mouth? You know, what's going to come from my heart in that situation when I'm kind of in a circumstance where I've lost a little bit of control? You know, what's going to come out? This is why Jesus put such a strong focus on the heart. Now, as you read through the Gospels, a lot of times you'll see that it's almost as if Jesus isn't that concerned about the behavior, that he's more concerned about where it's coming from. He always goes to the heart of the issue, as we see there, especially with the religious leaders of his day. As you read through the Gospels there, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they had behavior modification down to an art, didn't they? I mean, they were masters at this, making sure that what everybody saw made it look like everything was okay, that somebody would see them and the way that they kept the rules and the way that they, you know, the things that they said, and somebody said, well, that's got to be one of the most righteous people I know. But what was it that Jesus said to them? He said about them in Matthew 15, he says, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. How could they worship him in vain? They're doing everything right, aren't they? I mean, they're following the rules, they're making the sacrifices, they're tithing, they're doing all these different things. He says, that's not what I'm most concerned about. I'm most concerned about your heart. What's really there? What's your motivation? And that's what he always brings it to. A few sentences later, Jesus explains why the heart is so important. He says, for out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. At another place in Scripture, he says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's why Solomon said, above all else, priority number one, above all other things, guard your heart. Protecting our hearts, protecting the hearts of our children, should be one of the highest priorities that we have. You know, so often we think, in terms of guarding our heart, we think of guarding it when the attack comes. And that's important. But if we wait till the attack comes and we haven't done any preparation before that, it's not going to turn out too well. We've got to be proactive. You know, ahead of time, we've got to set up defenses. We've got to have that guard ready, because it's not a matter of if, it's just a question of when those things are going to come. So, as our series says, what's the app for that? How do we get our guard up? Well, Solomon outlines that for us in chapter 4, where this verse we read came from. Look at a few of these verses. In verse 1, he says, listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. Verse 10, listen, my son, accept what I say, and the years of your life will be many. Verse 20, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. You catch a theme in some of these verses in this chapter that he's talking about? What is it? Listen. What? Right here, these ears. That's why God gave us two of them. So we listen, talk twice as much as we talk. But, you know, our ears are a gateway into our hearts. What we hear for good or bad comes into our heart, and eventually it will flow out through our lives. Now, I'm guilty of this as well. I think we all can identify with this and what I'm getting ready to say, but we tend to think, I don't need to worry that much about what I hear because I'm mature. I can handle it. I don't really need to be that worried about the music that I listen to or the comedian that I listen to or the gossip that I listen to. I'm not the one saying those things. You know what? You're absolutely right. You're not. I'm not. I'm not the one, you're not the one who is telling that dirty joke. I'm not the one saying those profanity-laced lyrics. I'm not the one who's gossiping about somebody else. I just listen to it. Okay. And we tend to think that we haven't done anything. And it is true, we didn't say those things. But the Bible pleads with us, every single one of us, it pleads with us. It tries to warn us, even though we're not saying those things. If we make the choice to constantly listen to those things, it does affect us. Over time, it will affect us. It will get into our hearts, and it will come out in our lives. I want to give you an example, one that I'm definitely not proud of. It wasn't long after I got my driver's license, and our school had just let out, and our school was way overcrowded. We had way, you know, too many people in a small school, so trying to get out of the parking lot, it's kind of like trying to get out of a football game over in Greenville, you know, or any other place for that matter, where it's just constantly stop and go, trying to get out of there. Well, I wasn't paying attention like I should have been paying attention. We got out of the parking lot. I was in the line of traffic, and the cop who was directing traffic suddenly stopped our line to let some buses out of the parking lot. Well, like I said, I wasn't looking. And I was going about 25, 30 miles per hour, and I didn't even touch the brakes. And I ran right into the back of a jacked up truck. And I was driving a little Honda Accord. So as I see this bumper begin to rake itself across the hood of the car and slam into the bottom of the windshield and bust it completely out, in that moment of intense emotion, I took the Lord's name in vain. And it was in a particularly crude way that I did that. And when I got home, I thought to myself, what if I've been going 60 miles an hour, 65 miles an hour? Might not be alive today. And I thought to myself, what if that was the last thing that I said before I stood before the Lord? And then I thought about it more. I said, why was that the first thing out of my mouth in that instance? Okay? My guard was not there. And part of the explanation for why that was the first thing out of my mouth in that situation was what I had let enter through my ears. I was absorbing enough of that kind of a language. Some of it was unintentional. I mean, you can't help a lot of what you hear every single day, but a lot of it was intentional. A lot of it was by my own choice, the things I decided to listen to, certain people I decided to be around and made the choice to spend a lot of time with them. But I was absorbing enough of it into my heart that it flowed out through my words in a situation where it was emotional, it was a high-pressure situation. So one of the first lines of defense for guarding our hearts is monitoring our ears. I want you to look at something else Solomon says in verse 25. He says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you." And Jesus said this, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness." Now, obviously, Jesus isn't talking about whether you have 20/20 vision or whether you need glasses this thick in order to see. He's talking about what we decide to let in through these windows right here. Because our eyes, again, have a direct line to our heart. I would say even more so than the things that we hear. Studies show that we only remember about 11% of what we hear, which means that you'll forget hearing, that we have a tendency to forget things by the time you walk out of here this morning. We forget a lot of what we hear. But it said that we tend to remember or can recall better about 80% of what we see. And again, I'm guilty of this. We tend to think, it's not that big of a deal what I see. It's not that big of a deal what I watch. It's not going to affect the way that I live and the way that I talk and the decisions I make. I'm mature enough to watch this. I'm mature enough to look at this website. I'm mature enough to read this magazine. And, you know, you fill in the blank. But again, God's word here would warn us. It pleads with us. You know, once you open these windows up to certain things, and you open them enough to those things, it will begin to affect your heart. And when it affects your heart, it's going to make itself known in the way that you live your life. There's a cumulative effect to this process, which is what makes it hard to defend against. It's what makes it hard to guard. We let it in a little bit here, a little bit there, and over time it builds up in us. Advertisers know this. They've got it pegged. That's why they show us the same commercial hundreds of times, right? If I can get you to hear this enough, if I can get you to see this enough, you're going to want to buy this product. In fact, their main goal is to get us to hear it and see it so much that they can get us to a point of thinking that we're not normal if we don't have that product, right? I mean, you're just not normal if you don't buy this. That's the point they want to get us to. I mean, let's be honest. That's why the inventor of the Snuggie is a millionaire. I mean, honestly, the first time you saw that commercial, what'd you think? It's a blanket with sleeves. Who needs that, right? But then when you saw the commercial for the millionth time, thinking, I could use a Snuggie. And then you own four of them. And then before long, you get one for your dog. Okay? How sad is that, right? I mean, somebody, buy a Snuggie for your dog. Here's the fact, though. Our hearts absorb and our lives reflect what we're exposed to the most. It's honestly, it's a biblical principle, and it's a scientific fact. It just happens. And so what we allow into our ears, what we allow into our eyes, makes its way into our hearts and then flows out through our lives. Now, I can hear what you're thinking right now. Not because I have some supernatural ability, because I thought about it too. Okay, what in the world are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to become isolationists? Are we supposed to move into some cave somewhere? We don't ever hear anything bad. We don't ever see anything bad. No, we can't do that. Of course we can't do that. We can't be the kind of people that God wants us to be in society by doing that. Listen to what the Apostle Paul told the Christians who lived in the city of Corinth, one of the most ungodly cities at that time that you can think of. This is what he said. When I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. But I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin or are greedy or cheat people or worship idols. You would have to leave this world to avoid people like that. You know, Paul's helping to understand, you know, you just can't do that. You know, a lot of what we and our children see and hear every day, you can't control. We live in a sinful, fallen world. We're going to be exposed to things like that, that we just can't control. But that's an easy excuse for the things we can control, isn't it? We can control. We can make intentional choices for a lot of what we let in through our ears and through our eyes. And as we've seen, it does make an impact. I think we would be surprised if we were just kind of sit down and write out the different ways that the way information every day in our life, the way it comes into us, and how mindlessly we sometimes let it enter in through our eyes and our ears. And again, what I'm talking about here, I'm not just talking about making more rules. That's not the point at all. I'm not talking about making more rules for the sake of having more rules. That's not it. Rules, we need them, but they don't create change in us. Okay? This is about guarding our hearts. This is about renewing our hearts and developing a sincere relationship with God. When I was a freshman in high school, my literature class was going to go on a field trip to see the movie Schindler's List. And I don't know if this is the same way they still do it in school or not, but way back then, you had to get a permission slip, take it home, get mom and dad to sign it, and bring it back in order for you to go. Well, I took it home, and I told Dad about the trip that the class was planning to take, and so he did what a parent should do, because he wanted to guard my heart. He did a parent's job, and he researched what was in that movie before he signed that permission slip to then let me go with the class to see it. Now, he certainly wanted me to learn the story, the amazing courage of Oskar Schindler, an amazing man, a German businessman who saved the lives of more than 1,000 Jewish refugees during the Holocaust. He wanted me to know that story because it's worth emulating his courage and the stand that he took. It's worth emulating in our lives. But he told me, son, you're not going to that movie. And and the main reason why was because there was a pretty graphic sex scene in the movie. That's why he made that decision. Now, my dad didn't just say, you couldn't go and that's it. You know, I'm not going to sit here and talk to you about it. You just listen to what I say and that's it. End of debate. He knew I was a teenager, a freshman in high school. I was going to have to deal with friends and other things and how I went about this. So he said, let's sit down, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it together. He said, look, I'm your dad. My job is to guard your heart. And he says, I know ahead of time that this is in this movie. And I just can't be okay with you going to see that. But more important than that was that he said, son, I want you to understand, I want you to desire to guard your own heart. That to understand that God wants you to desire to guard your own heart. I'm not always going to be here, okay? And you're going to reach a certain age, you're going to be making your own decisions, and I'm not going to have a say in it anymore. I may have an opinion, but I'm not going to have a say in what you do. He said, and I want you to get to the point where you see it as important that you want to guard your own heart in situations like this. Now, my dad taking the time to help me understand why and sit there and talk to me about it made all the difference in the world. I'm not going to say it was easy. It wasn't easy when I went back and told my friends, hey, I'm not going to be able to go on the trip. Here's why. Because they asked why. I'm going to have to tell them why. And it wasn't easy that day when they left. I was the only person who didn't go on that trip. And so I went to my class that day, and I was all by myself, and I watched a documentary on the Holocaust, just to tie in with what they were kind of studying. It wasn't easy, but I didn't resent my dad for it, okay? Not at all. I loved him for it, because it was one of the many ways he was helping me to become a Christian who was not ashamed of the name of Christ. It was one of the many ways he was helping me understand that, son, as a follower of Christ, you're going to have to make decisions in this world. You're going to have to take stands in this world that are not going to be popular. They're going to put you as the outcast. They're going to get bullied and made fun of because of it. He said, but you need to understand that is part of what it means to follow Christ. He said, that's part of what it means when Jesus said, you got to pick up your cross and carry it. We're going to encounter those times. And graduates, those from going from high school to college into other things, especially those going into college, you're going to enter an environment where, at least from my perspective, it's about as anti-Christian as it's ever been in the history of this country. Okay? Depending on some of the classes that you're in and things that you study, you're likely to encounter professors that belittle your faith, that try to tear it to pieces, and the kind of stands that Jesus asks us to take on values and morality are not going to be popular. But I would just ask you and plead with you, don't be ashamed of the name of Christ. Okay? Understand that Jesus told us, he said, if we're going to follow him, that we're going to face persecution. Okay? And it's what it means to carry a cross. You got a lot of people who love you and support you. And when you face those tough times, call your mom and dad. Call Dustin. Call Greg Webb. I know they'd be glad to talk with you. Maybe give you some resources, depending on what you're facing, that could help you take a better stand for what you believe in. But you're going to face those times in a way you've yet to experience in your life. So don't be ashamed of the name of Christ. The Apostle Paul said this, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And with the understanding that we live in a sinful and fallen world, and we can't control everything that passes by our eyes or enters in through our ears, with that understanding, let me say the challenge for us is that while we're constantly on the internet, or watching, 24-hour news, or we're flipping through the channels, we're constantly inundated with stuff that is not noble, right, pure, lovely, excellent, admirable, praiseworthy. And we need to be intentional to guard ourselves against too much of that. Things that we can control, those are things that we can change. But again, it doesn't stop there, because intentionally avoiding a constant diet of that kind of thing entering into our lives isn't enough. We need to intentionally give our minds, purposefully give our minds to things that do qualify as admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. And that means constantly being in the Word. It means reading a good Christian book. It means making entertainment choices that instill values in us. And centering our conversations with our friends on things that are spiritual, on things that encourage, things that build up. So don't leave here today just continuing to treat the symptoms. Let's go to the heart of it. And the only cure is a heart transplant. And that's what God has provided through his son, Jesus Christ. I love what God says in Ezekiel 36. He says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. That's the invitation for all of us. That's the challenge for all of us. That is God's app for our hearts today. Band's going to get ready. We're going to sing our song of decision, song of invitation. And if you have a decision you need to make today, it might be to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're already a follower of Christ, I would just encourage you, think about the things we've talked about today. What we intentionally decide to let in through our eyes and our ears, and making sure we monitor that. We guard our hearts, but we also fill our lives with things that are admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Let's stand together and let's sing.